Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Verse 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deny him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Water baptism is a principal ordinance in the New Testament church. It's a symbol of the beginning of the Christian life. It's not ordinary and must never be perceived as such. Baptism is not optional for a redeemed child of God. The proper form of baptism in the New Testament is immersion. And immersion is not just a Baptist distinctive, but a biblical injunction. Baptism is translated from the Greek word baptizo, and it means to plunge, to dip, or immerse. And there are scriptural evidence that shows that baptism by immersion should be what we should follow. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, we are told that Jesus was baptized. He went up out of the water. If it wasn't immersion, he didn't need to go up out of the water. Praise the Lord. Let's read some other scriptures. Mark chapter 1, verse 5. Mark 1, verse 5. Can we read Mark 1, 5 together? They were baptized by him where? That's also indicative of immersion. Acts chapter 8, verse 36 and 39. Can we read together again? Verse 39. They came up out of where? If it was sprinkling, they don't need to do what? Come out of. Finally, let's read one scripture, John 3, 23. John chapter 3. Shall we read together? So if you are going to sprinkle, do you need plenty of water? How much of water do you need? A handful, isn't it? So baptism by immersion is the correct way of baptism. Like we said, it's not just a Baptist distinctive, it's a biblical instruction. Some of the reasons for water baptism is a command, as we see in Matthew 28:19 in the Great Commission. Christ instructed his disciples to baptize every disciple they made in the course of fulfilling the Great Commission. Christ himself had done this before the commencement of his ministry. His disciples were obedient to this instruction in their days. The present-day church has also not deviated from that instruction. Baptism remains a command that every genuine follower of Christ should obey. Not to comply is tantamount to disobedience, and this has grave implications. We need also to be baptized to become a part of Christ's body. Until you are baptized, even though you are born again, you have repented, you are not part of his body. And I think that's quite serious. Let's read 1 Corinthians 12:13. Can we read together? For we are all baptized by one spirit into what? Into one body. And whose body is that? The body of Christ. This is another reason why you should be baptized if you have not done so. Number three, to make a public declaration of our faith in Jesus Christ. And we see the Ethiopian Enoch doing that in Acts chapter 8. Jesus denounced anyone who is ashamed of him here on earth. Jesus said he will be ashamed of such person also in heaven. It is required after you have repented that you make a public declaration of that experience. Number four, you need to be baptized to follow the example of Jesus Christ. This is a major reason why every believer should be baptized. Christ had no reason to be baptized, but he identified with us in our sins and submitted himself for baptism. Who then can be greater and higher than Jesus Christ as not to follow this example? The truth remains, if Jesus did it, you have no choice. Hallelujah. Look at verse 13 of our text. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized. He was intentional about it. He was deliberate about it. And he had to travel several distance to fulfill this condition. You know, if it is today, if I'm Jesus, you know what I will do? I will just sit down in my corner and I will send for John. Say, John, it's time for me to be baptized. Can you come over? And what will John do? Will John come? Why will John come? Because it's Jesus Christ. The Jesus, God, greater, stronger than John, knew that this is a prerequisite for supernatural help if he's going to fulfill the purpose of God for his life. He did not jump the process. He submitted himself to it. I encourage you under God, if you are yet to be baptized, it's no ordinary thing. There's supernatural help also that you get from this experience. Hallelujah. We need to be baptized in order to do the proper thing. In verse 14 and 15, Jesus said to John, I need to be baptized by you and you need to come to me. That's the protest. Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. A major lesson we must learn in life is the lesson of doing the proper thing. One way to show to God and the devil that you have repented is by doing the proper thing. So if you are here and you claim to be born again and have not seen the need to be baptized, you are not doing the proper thing. And it is not too late to do so. Submit yourself for baptism. Baptism is needed to fulfill all righteousness. Again, Christ did not need to be baptized. Baptism is for sinners who have repented. Baptism is the outward expression of an inward experience with the King of Glory. Christ was sinless and perfectly holy. There was no sin for him to repent of, thoughtless of being baptized. Think of it. What could have made divinity submit to humanity in the dirty Jordan River? It was a crucial commitment to righteousness. Righteousness has to do with justice. Righteousness has to do with justification. Our Lord Jesus Christ is so committed to righteousness so that he will not bend the rule for himself. If God did not bend the rule for the only begotten Son, I can guarantee you that he won't do it for you. If Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master, did not jump the process, but paid the necessary price, I can assure you that he won't give you exemption from this process. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So many things could have discouraged Jesus. The distance, even the type of water. Jordan River is one of the dirtiest rivers in the world. And unlike this one we're going to be using this evening that is sparkling clean, Jesus would have protested. But he knew that this is a matter of fulfilling all what? All righteousness. To secure supernatural help. And this is the heart of this message. Amen. To secure what? Supernatural help. And when you study the Bible closely, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, not much is said about Christ. But soon after his baptism, a great chapter was opened. And on and on and on, till he fulfilled the purpose of God for his life. It became very clear to me as I studied our text that Christ submitted himself to the ordinance of baptism because of his need for supernatural help. Though Christ is perfectly God, he was also perfectly human. There was no way he would have been able to fulfill God's purpose on the earth without supernatural help. Jesus knew this and he did everything necessary to get it. He traveled many kilometers from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized. He refused to be distracted or discouraged. He humbled himself under the hand of an ordinary man like John as long as that would help him secure supernatural help for his life and ministry. Christ was so desperate for the help of his Father that he earnestly prayed during this experience. Some may struggle with the word desperate, that Christ was desperate, and I will want us to see some scriptures. Let's read Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Why would Jesus be desperate for supernatural help? God has been looking for a way of solution to the problem of sin from Genesis down the line. The prophets came, they couldn't solve the problem. The commandments were issued. They couldn't solve the problem. And you get to Malachi, between Malachi and Matthew, it's called the intertestamental years, where the voice of God was silent. God was not communicating with man. The heavens were shut. And how can Christ fulfill the ministry that God has given to him under a closed heaven? That was the need for desperation. It's like, God, if you will not help me, I've only come to accomplish nothing. Look at Mark chapter 1 and see what the Bible says in verse 10. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being what? Being torn open. The heavens that were shut, closed, locked, had to be torn, rent open, because of somebody who cried, who pleaded, who prayed. I know it was only Christ that was being baptized that day, but it wasn't only Christ that did something that unlocked the heaven. Luke chapter 3. Can we see what Christ did? Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Can we read together? When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, what happened? So you won't see that account in Matthew. You didn't see that in Mark. We only read that the heaven was torn open. But the secret is what? That he prayed. Hallelujah. And this evening, the heavens will be open. It's no ordinary baptism we are coming for. And maybe you are here, you say, I wish I know this when I got baptized some years ago. The heavens will be opened over you this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This suggests to me that baptism is not an ordinary experience. There's something divine, something extraordinary, something supernatural that happens when we do it right. May the Lord do the same for us today. In Jesus' name. May something extraordinary, something unusual, supernatural happen to all the candidates to be baptized today and to all of us who shall be witnessing it in Jesus' name. Amongst others, some of the supernatural help Christ received at his baptism as follows. In that Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. Open heaven was the first supernatural help. The second help is the outpouring of the Spirit of the Almighty God. You know, some of us sometimes, you know, our understanding about the Holy Spirit has helped us not even to experience him. Can you imagine Christ, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born by the Holy Spirit, and yet at this point, he still needed the Holy Spirit to operate? So who tells you that you can have the Holy Spirit enough? At every point in our journey of life, we need fresh outpouring. Another supernatural help that we see in this passage is the divine voice. Verse 17 says, and a voice from heaven said, and I pray for those to be baptized today, you'll be hearing the voice of God after this experience in Jesus' name. There's also divine introduction. This is my son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When God introduces a man, it makes all the difference. And that's all that Jesus needed at this point. He was introduced to his world. divine approval, divine affirmation. This is my son, whom I love. With him, I'm well pleased. Dearly beloved, baptism is no ordinary ordinance. It is not something to trivialize. Encourage as many as have not gone through this experience to follow the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You don't lose anything by being baptized. Rather, you gain access to supernatural help. The only condition for you to be baptized is to repent. It is to this end, I once again congratulate the more than 40 that are to be baptized tonight. Something great and eternal and enduring will happen to you. You can't be the same again.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5 to 7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.